Good morning. It is good to see everyone that is here. We're thankful for your presence. We're thankful for any and all visitors that are here with us. And we appreciate you coming out and being with us as we desire to read and to study from God's Word, to sing songs of praise to Him, and to offer up worship that is pleasing in His sight. Change is the only constant, is one of the things that we read through the Greeks and their wisdom. And, of course, if you get a little bit further into history, they might would say the order of worship services in the local church is the only constant, because in many congregations, they continue to worship the exact same way that they did 20, 30, 40 years ago. Change is a difficult thing. It's hard for us to get used to change. We're oftentimes reluctant to change. I remember reading about when the electric bulb began to take precedence in homes and in businesses, primarily in the beginning, along streets and such, and everyone was complaining about the electric bulb because it was too bright, and they didn't like the change. They wanted to go back to the old gas that was there. And how many of us want to change over from electricity to gas, to change over from the ease of the bulb and things of that nature, and deal with the way things used to be? We don't like change. A lot of people complained about the automobile when it first began running up and down the roads, that it was too fast and too loud. But how many of us want to go back to horse and buggies? Some of us would be willing to do that because, well, there's grass all over the place and we had to buy gas. But we like the air conditioning that comes along with those cars. We like the speed with which we're able to get somewhere. If we were back in the horse and buggy days, I would never see my family because it would be a month-long trip to just get there, much less to go down and come back. And so we like change after we've gotten used to it. And so I encourage everyone to be patient with these things and to allow these things to take place. You may have noticed that wasn't the only change. The format of the bulletin was changed. Some of you may not have noticed. I print around 35 of them, and oftentimes there's about 10 of them left. So perhaps some of you haven't noticed, but it has shrank in size to make it a little bit easier on getting it on the web for people printing it out, and also being a little bit more costly in that the paper that we use to print it on now is cheaper than the other. And so it's a little bit of reasons behind that, and not all just because, well, there's less I have to put into it now. That's just a little minor part of it. But I encourage you to get the bulletin to give these changes a chance, and not just go against them because it's different than what we've always done. When we look at the Bible, we see that God's people sometimes wanted change and didn't like it, and sometimes they didn't want the change and ended up enjoying it. And so let's focus on these things. How many of you were excited when you woke up this morning? How many of you woke up this morning with a, all right, yeah, it's the Lord's Day, Sunday, finally, I've been waiting all week for the week to be over, for the new week to start, because it's Sunday. When we were getting ready to leave this morning, Austin was like, is it still Vacation Bible School? I was like, no, sorry, it's not. He's like, oh, when's it going to come again? I like that. I was glad to hear that. And how many of us are looking forward to the opportunities we have to be together with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Sunday means a lot of things to a lot of people. For some people, it's that last chance to sleep in before they go back to work. You know, I've heard so many times in all my years of preaching and attending services and talking with individuals, and they're like, I'd come to Sunday morning Bible study, but that's my only opportunity to sleep in. And I like getting to sleep in on Sunday mornings, and I'm there for worship. And I always caution them, think about what you're saying there. That your sleeping in is more important than studying the Word of God and things of that nature. To others, they find Sunday as a day to catch up on the things that they weren't able to get done throughout the week because of work. They've had a busy week. Some view it as a family day. Anna's family, before her grandparents passed away, Sunday afternoon, everybody convened down at her grandmother's, and that was one of the things I had to get used to, was going to her grandmother's and not my grandmother's, because Sunday afternoon was my grandmother's. And when we got married, we had to kind of divide that up. But all of her family would convene, and sometimes that's an all-day affair for some families. Sunday is the day that you get together with your grandparents and your cousins, your aunts and your uncles. And, well, for my family, that just doesn't happen because we're too far apart. For others, they look at Sunday as a rest day. It's a day to relax, a day to kick back and to rest after a long, hard week. Sadly, for others, it's just another day to make another buck. It's a day to work, to make a little bit more money, to get a little bit more overtime and have a little bit larger of a paycheck so we can buy a little bit larger of a house, a little bit nicer of a car, a little bit newer of a boat, whatever. For fans of Chick-fil-A, it's the day that you can't get your chicken fix because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. For others, it's a day to come and to worship God. It's a day to devote to the Lord. It's a day of excitement that we look forward to the time that we're able to be together. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we read that in the Lord's church that Sunday was the day that the church came together. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we read, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. In the society that we live in today, fewer and fewer people view Sunday as a day to devote to God. Fewer and fewer see Sunday as a day to come together and to worship. They go and they worship if they can't find anything better to do. Worship services is kind of their backup plan. Well, if we can't find anything else to do, we can always go to church Sunday night or we can go to the worship services Sunday morning. It may be that because of familiarity, because we have been doing the same thing so often for so long, that it's just a day of drudgery. Well, this is what we do, and we've done this every Sunday since I was a little tyke, and we have, and this is how we phrase it, we have to get up and we have to go to church, and we have to go to church Sunday night because that's just what we're supposed to do, and we've taken what's supposed to be a blessing and turned it into nothing more than a chore. I want us to look at Sunday. And I want us to ask the question honestly to ourselves, is Sunday special to you? And I want to look at some reasons why the first day of the week, Sunday, should truly be special to us. First and foremost, as we mentioned, oftentimes we refer to it as the Lord's Day. When you look in the Scriptures over in Revelation 1 and verse 10, we find the Apostle John using that very phrase to signify what he was doing on what day he was doing. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Revelation 1 and verse 10. And it was at this time, on the Lord's Day, in the Spirit, that the Lord revealed to him the impressive visions that we read throughout the book of Revelation. But what is he referring to? On the Lord's Day. This was being written, some say around 65, 70 A.D., others around 95, 96 A.D., 30 to 60 years after the Lord's church was instituted there in Acts chapter 2. Sunday had come to be known amongst Christians as the Lord's Day. And I think we would do well to keep that in mind, that Sunday is the Lord's Day. Sunday is a day that we can devote to God, we can devote in service to Him, in study to Him, and worship and praise to Him. How many of us use the term the Lord's Day in the same respectful, loving manner as John? Or how many of us use it just as kind of a byword? Well, yeah, Sunday, it's the Lord's Day, whatever. Do we realize the way that we're looking to God and treating the Lord? Do we really devote this day to the Lord? Do we give Him the best that we can give Him on the Lord's Day? In the New Testament, we read, as we noted in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, that the Lord's people gathered together on the first day of the week for the purpose of breaking bread, for the purpose of reading and studying or receiving a lesson from God's Word. This was a practice in the first century church, something that, as we see there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, they were not concerned with how long it went on. Some of you might be going, all right, if we're adding an extra prayer and things of that nature, and the preacher preaches just as long as he normally does, and he usually goes over, well, we're going to be here a little bit longer. But look again in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Paul continued his message on past midnight. I want to promise you that I'm going to do the best that I can to make sure that we're getting out close to the same time as before, even though we're adding these other things that I'm giving you a message from God's Word, but we're keeping it within a proper time frame. But it bothers me, and it should bother you, that we are so concerned with the length of the services or the amount of the services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, that's a whole lot. My parents have been having to get used to attending just once on Sunday, because where they are out in the West, a lot of those congregations, they have people coming from such a long distance that they meet once on Sunday, And oftentimes they'll have a longer service. They'll have a 3 to 4 hour service rather than a 2 hour service, which is what we're used to. So that they're getting just as much as they would with the two services, but people aren't having to leave and come back and things of that nature. And of course, this has allowed Dad to travel from different places because some of them meet in the morning, some of them meet in the afternoon. And so he's able to go and work with different congregations. But why are we so worried with the length of time? This should be something that we look forward to, something that we enjoy. I wonder how many, when the Pirates were continuing on past the normal innings, and they go on in 10th, 11th, 12th. Now, by the time they were in the 19th, I'm sure there were a lot that was like them, Pirate, let's go ahead and end this. But we look forward to things when they're longer, when there's more included. I mean, we go out and we pay more money for the extended edition of our favorite movie so we can see more. The Lord's Day is the first day of the week. We should keep that in mind. One of the reasons that Sunday should be such a special time for us, there's a lot of things that happen on Sunday. There's a lot of very special events that occurred on the first day of the week. First and foremost, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and what happened on the first day of the week? The very first day of the week. The very first day of the very first week of the world, God created light. Look with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 1. Go over there to Genesis chapter 1, and let's begin reading there in verse 1. Verses I'm sure we're all familiar with, but keep in mind, this is the first day. And of course, there are those that try to say this was the first period of time, that this was the first billion years or so. But no, when you look at the Scriptures, it's very clear it's one day. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning. One day, Sunday, the very first Sunday, God created light. Now, it's interesting, when you look at the idea of light, the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, what did he see? A light that was brighter than the noonday sun. We see that light is something that is used to refer to God. Really, when you look at the things of this world, there's nothing more like the character of God than light. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, there in verse 16, says, "Who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and glory and dominion and eternal dominion. Amen." John writes in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." On the first Sunday, God created light. And it has been throughout the history of man an evidence of God, a proof of God. It has been throughout the Scriptures something that the Lord has used time and time again, that light, to signify Himself or to signify His people. Jesus said to His apostles, to the disciples, He said, "You are the light of the world." We sing the song as we sing every night of the week, "This little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And this all goes back to the very first day of the week. We also see that on the first day of the week, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, let's begin reading there in verse 50. Says, "And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action. A man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin." In other words, he's doing all this before 6 o'clock on Friday. He's getting everything ready and quickly getting the Lord into the tomb on Friday. Sabbath takes place. And what do we read in chapter 24 and verse 1? But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was resurrected from the dead on the first day of the week. We need to keep those things in mind. The Lord's Day is a special day. It has so many special occurrences. And you look further, the Lord's church began on the first day of the week. Look with me, if you would, in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, there in verse 1, what do we read? When the day of Pentecost had come. That tells us exactly what day it is. The day of Pentecost always fell on a Sunday. Without fail, because it began being counted on the Sabbath, and they counted 49 days, 7 weeks, 49 days, and then on the 50th day, which would always follow that Sabbath, would be Sunday. On the first day of the week, you could read there. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were gathered together in one place. Look further there in verse 38, when the men and that were present cried out and said, What should we do? And they said, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what do we see there in verse 41? So then those who had received His word were baptized, and there were added about 3,000 souls that day. 3,000 individuals obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Lord's church was instituted there on the day of Pentecost, on the first day of the week. As we've noted in our lesson already, we can see that the first day of the week is the day that the Lord's Supper is observed. The memorial feast, the feast that is to keep in mind the horrible sacrifice that was necessary for us to have salvation from our sins. It's a special day because we come together in memory of the Lord and what has been done for us. But we like to take memorials and we reduce them to nothing, don't we? I mean, the 4th of July, a memorial that we're keeping in the idea of the founding of our country and the beginning of the United States of America, and we turn it into a barbecue and fireworks display. Labor Day, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, days that were to remember those that have sacrificed their lives for our nation to remain, for the freedoms of this world, and we look at it as, again, another day that we can get together with family and have a barbecue. And I'm afraid we do the same thing with the Lord's memorial. Okay, well, we get this done and we're almost through. We're out of here. Got to eat the bread, got to drink the cup, and we're done. And we allow it to lose the idea behind it, and we allow it to lose the significance. And of course, in some denominations, in some churches, they go, well, we shouldn't do it every first day of the week because it loses its importance. And so let's move it and do it on special occasions. But you see, we need to be reminded. We need to focus. We need to be reminded of what the Lord had done for us. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we read that the disciples had come together for the purpose of breaking bread. Their primary purpose was to come together and to keep the Lord's Supper, to remind themselves of what the Lord had done for them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there in verse 16, we read, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Do you hear what Paul is saying? When you drink of the cup, when you drink of the contents of that cup, you're sharing in the blood of Christ. Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? So there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. It's a uniting thing as well. We're all partaking of the body and the blood of Christ. We're all remembering these things. We also see that the Lord's church in the first century used it as a day to give of their means. To give as they have prospered, as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. To give as they have prospered so that the church will have the funds that it needs to carry out the work that it has to do. We primarily see here in 1 Corinthians 16 and in other places, they were collecting for the needy saints. We read in other places it was for supporting of those who preached the gospel. The idea there is to care for those that couldn't care for themselves and to spread the gospel throughout the world. And this is your chance to come together on the first day of the week. You're taking part in a much grander thing. It's more than just the local church. It's more than just the work that we're doing here. The work that we do here and the finances of the church, well, as was mentioned, was last Sunday. Support is being given to Brother Steve Wallace as he's going over to preach the gospel in India, all the way across the world. Your funds are being used to support the preaching of the gospel. Chuck was showing me kind of a breakdown of the visitors that we have on the website and all the different countries. What was it, number two? Both of us are going to forget. I know China was up there. The Philippines was up there. Israel was number four. You've got the gospel being presented from this congregation all around the world. And this is all a result of the funds that you're giving. And so we should not look at it as a chore, but as a blessing. Look at what we're doing with what we're contributing. Look at where our finances are going. Look at what is being accomplished in the things that we're doing. When we come together on the first day of the week, when we give as we have prospered. We also see that the Lord's Day is a day of worship and singing. The psalmist writes in Psalm 122 there in verse 1, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" How many of you were happy this morning? I mean, honestly, let's just be brutally honest. How many of us woke up this morning with the attitude of, "Yay! All right! It's the Lord's Day. We get to go to church." How many of us use that phrase, "We get to go to church"? It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's something that we look forward to. Or how many of us, "If I don't hurry up and get out of bed, I'm going to be late for church. And then brother and sister so-and-so is going to look at us funny. Everybody's going to turn around whenever I walk through the door. And they're going to know I run late. And I'm always running late because, well, I'm never really excited about worshiping God." Because think about it. When we're excited about something, what do? I like to read the British news, and when the royal wedding was taking place, weeks in advance, people were camping out so they'd have the best spot for that royal couple when they came out, and they could view them as soon as they came out. They were camping out. Wimbledon is another thing where they go and they camp out weeks in advance so that they can get a ticket, so that they can sit at court number one and watch the greatest tennis players in the world. When the latest Harry Potter came out, I had several friends that were going and there for that midnight showing. And they were there as early as possible so they could get the best possible seat so they could go and see their favorite movie. I like to go about a week or so after it's come out so I can go on Monday afternoon when nobody else is there and enjoy it that way. But you see, we plan ahead. We work hard and we give our excitement to the things that we enjoy. But how many of us are truly joyful when it comes time to worship? When it comes time to sing songs? How many of us really have that excitement on our face? We may think we're excited, but I'm going to tell you, as a song leader, as a preacher, you don't look it. Oftentimes, people in the congregation do not look excited. There's not that joy on their face. They're singing these songs and, "Well, we always sing this song." Well, maybe you're focusing on having always sung that song rather than the contents of that song and realize that you're singing praise to the Lord. What was said about Zacchaeus? Remember? He was excited to see the Lord, so excited he ran ahead from where the Lord was, where there wasn't anybody, and climbed up in a tree so he could have the best view. And then as the Lord was passing by, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and saw his enthusiasm. He said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, let's go eat at your house." And did Zacchaeus go, "Oh, company? Oh, I haven't cleaned the house." What does it say? Received him gladly. He jumped down, ran to his house, and he received him gladly or joyfully or rejoicing. That's the way that we should be. We should look forward to these things. It should be an excitement, not something that we dread. We should be like the psalmist and say, I was glad when they said, "Hey, it's time to go to church." I love the enthusiasm of kids that you get from time to time. Unfortunately, it doesn't always remain. And no matter how joyful they are, sometimes they don't remain that way in the long term. But Austin oftentimes is happy and I'm ready to leave at 9 o'clock. And he's like, "I want to go with you." And he'll run around and grab his Bible. And how many of us are truly joyful? It's a day of preaching. Must have skipped one. It's a day of preaching and teaching from God's Word. That's something else we need to keep in mind. The preaching and teaching of God's Word. I like reading about in the Old Testament where the Israelites were commanded to come together once every 7 years for a reading of the law. As Brother Brian has pointed out there, Deuteronomy is the second telling of the law. Have you ever sat down and read the book of Deuteronomy? In one reading? That's a long book. Have you ever sat down and read the commandments and the law as it's given in Exodus and other places? All the Levitical laws that were there for the priests. Can you imagine going and sitting and reading the Word of God? And yet we can't even find excitement to come together and to hear a gospel message that, well, some congregations, if you go over 20 minutes, you're not going to preach there for very long. 30 minutes is unheard of. To preach for an hour, they're going to cut you off. And it seems that we've reduced our mindset, our joy in hearing the Word of God. And part of it might be the part of the preacher. Maybe he's not preparing himself well enough to make it something that's enjoyable. But I'm going to tell you, I have sat through what others have called some of the most boring lessons in the land from some of the most boring preachers, and I've gotten some really good insight into God's Word from those men. Brother Glenn Melton was the father, he was the father-in-law of my brother Dan, and he was not an exciting preacher at all. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know of many other preachers that knew the Bible like he did. He was a student of the Hebrew and the Greek, and you had to focus and really push yourself to pay attention, because it was easy to drift off because he wasn't an excitable guy, but you could get some really wonderful lessons from him. We need to focus on these things. It's a day of preaching and teaching, as we see in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. We can also see that it's a time that we can use for prayer and personal Bible study. How many times do we find ourselves on Monday through Friday, we're really tired after work, right? And not just physically, but emotionally tired. We're mentally drained. I was reading a study that was done that actually you can be more tired from mental work than you can from physical. People don't believe me, but the study proved it. When you spend a day in mental work, you can be more drained than you are if you are out physically mowing the yard or doing physical labor. And I want to tell you, as someone who's done both, I'll second that. Because I've put in a 12-hour shift of nonstop work all day long. I've put in an 18-hour shift of hard labor all day long, nonstop work. I know how that feels. And yes, you are physically drained and tired. But how many of us, when we get home, we feel like opening up God's Word and reading from its pages? We feel like really devoting ourselves to the study of God's Word. But you see, Sunday is a perfect day for that. It's a day that we're already devoting to the Lord, is it not? A day that we're already focused on God's Word in our Bible studies, in our coming together and reading and studying from God's Word, in the preaching. And it's a day that we can continue to give further study and continue to grow in our understanding of God's will. We can also find that the Lord's day is a day that can be used for edification and spiritual refreshment. Look with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 10. And as I pointed out before, keep in mind that oftentimes we look at verse 25 and we fail to find the purpose of verse 25 by not looking at the earlier two verses. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." How are we going to do that? Well, the author of Hebrews says, "By not forsaking your own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We've oftentimes preached, and I've been guilty of preaching Hebrews 10:25 as a command to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we should be looking at it as, it's an encouragement. It's a look what you can get by coming together with the brothers and sisters in Christ on the first day of the week. Look at what is on offer there. Look at what you can receive. You can be stimulated to love and good deeds by coming together, by not forsaking the assemblies, by taking advantage, would be another way that we could read there. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds by taking advantage of the assemblies. Encouraging one another. If we were to change it to taking advantage, you couldn't exactly say, as is the habit of some there. Because it's more of a habit to forsake the assemblies than it is to take advantage of the assemblies. There's great things that come from the Lord's day. From coming together and singing songs of praise and spending time with one another. Oftentimes we don't receive it because we don't look for it. Oftentimes we don't receive it because we're not bringing any encouragement ourselves. In fact, we're there as a negative force bringing everybody else down. I'm here, but that's it. You're not getting anything else out of me. I'm here. Well, I'll throw a dollar in there so people won't look at me funny, but that's it. I'm going to sit here like a lump on a log just because I have to. And you bring down everyone around you, and your singing is evident, if you sing at all. Your singing is evident because you're singing in this flat monotone of, yes, this song, oh, this song leader always sings this song, and I'm sick of singing this song. Unfortunately, we don't really worship in such a way that we can do the whole teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Because to teach and admonish one another, you kind of have to have interaction with one another, don't you? And we're having interaction with the song leader, and the song leader alone. And a lot of times the song leader is like, doesn't look like he's too happy to be there either. The Lord's Day is all of these things. Now, we need to understand that the Lord's Day is not the new Sabbath. My grandfather, and this was his own opinion, he didn't bind this on anyone, but he wouldn't even mow the yard on a Sunday. If the yard needed to be mowed, it could wait till Monday afternoon after work. He felt like the Lord's Day was a day that you devoted completely and totally to the Lord, and you didn't go and do any work, you didn't go off driving around, you kind of kept it as the Sabbath. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, but when we start binding these things on others, that's where it does become wrong. And we need to keep in mind, if we're going to keep the old law, we got to keep the old law. And well, that means you don't turn on the oven if you've got a gas oven, and you don't travel very far, and some of you would have already broken the Sabbath law by traveling the distance that you travel to get to church. In no way is Sunday the Lord's Sabbath. The old law has been done away with. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, we read that having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way and having nailed it to the cross. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. But the fact that it is the day that we as saints are to observe the Lord's Supper, that we are to give of our means, that we come together and worship God and we sing songs of praise to Him, we do something different. It means that it is a day that is unique in comparison to all the other days of the week. And it should be treated in a special way. It amazes me how quickly the world is taking the Lord's Day and changing it to just any other day of the week. In fact, when you look at calendars, where is Sunday? It's half there with Saturday at the end of the week. But we as Christians need to keep it in the place of importance where it belongs, the place where the Lord set it on the first day of the week. And we need to keep it as something special. And how do we go about making the Lord's Day special to us? That's what we want to close our lesson out by looking at. First and foremost, we can disentangle ourselves from activities that interfere with it. When someone asks you if you can do something Sunday, go, no. No, I really want to focus on my service to God. It amazes me how many people will plan things on Sunday afternoon. We had a lady in the congregation in Dyersburg, Tennessee, that always invited us over to their house on Sunday afternoons for lunch. We became very close with them and really enjoyed the companionship that we had with them. But she wanted to make sure that everything was ready when we got there. And so as soon as the amen was given, or as soon as the invitation song was sung, she was out the door to go and get those rolls into the oven so that everything would be ready when we got there. And I told her, I said, look, if you're not going to wait and worship with the Lord's people, I can't come eat with you. If you're going to rush out of your worship and cut short your worship for something like that, I can't come over. And how many times do we rush the worship services? We get everything ready, we put our jackets on, and we're ready to rush out the door. Just hurry up. Or we plan something on Sunday afternoon. Well, preacher, I'm going to have to get up and leave in the middle of your sermon because this is going on. I want you to stop the next time you come to me and say things like that, and I want you to turn to God and say, God, I'm going to have to leave right in the middle of worshiping You because I've got something more important. Now just think about that for just a moment. Because in truth, that's what we're saying. When we change our lives and we allow ourselves to become so entangled in the world that we cut short the worship services or miss the worship services altogether so we can do those things, We've got a spiritual problem. And the Lord's Day is truly not special to us. We also need to prepare for it. To prepare for the Lord's Day, what do we need to do? Well, it would be good to get a good night's rest on Saturday night. But Saturday night's the night to go out and have fun, right? Because we're tired after Friday. And so on Saturday, well, that's the night to go out and we can stay out later because church starts later. And, well, it's just Bible study. And if I miss Bible study, it's not that big of a deal. Prepare for it. Get a good night's rest. Prepare yourself to worship the Lord. Focus on it. Encourage your children to be focused on it. We can pray about it. One of the things that is being added is more prayer in the things that we're doing here. And is that ever a bad thing? To increase in our prayer to God? Do we forget about the prayer, that the effectiveness of prayer, the power of prayer? We can reserve the Lord's Day. Just make it a practice. Sunday's the Lord's Day. If there's any time after I've given my service to the Lord as I feel that I should, then I might go do something. But I'm not going to make plans for the Lord's Day. That's a day I'm going to devote to God and to His people. We can also make memories for our children. What memories are you leaving behind for your children? Are they being reminded that the Lord's Day is the day when you have to go to church? Is that what they hear from you every Sunday morning? Come on, we've got to hurry up. We have to go to church. I don't care what you think. You're going to church regardless of what you want to do. Is that our attitude? Or do we begin at the youngest of ages with excitement? Come on, guys. We get to go to church. Do we make it an enjoyable thing? Or do we make it something that, well, it's just something we do from time to time? Keep these thoughts in mind. And if you would, bow with me as we go to God in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for the time that we've been able to come together and to spend time in a study from Your Word. Father, we pray that the thoughts that have been presented this morning will have been pleasing in Your sight. We pray that each and every one of us will focus our heart and mind on the things that have been presented, the things that are found within Your Word, and that we will truly find joy in the first day of the week. That we will find in our own lives the need to look forward to it. That it is truly a joy to come together and to be with others of like precious faith. That it can be an encouragement to us. That it can be a help to us in a difficult period of time. Father, we pray that we'll take these things to heart. We pray that we'll examine our own lives. And if we find that we are lacking in any way, Father, we pray that Your Word will work on our hearts and prick us. It will cut us so deeply that we'll have a desire to make right the wrongs in our lives. Father, we ask all these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Keep in mind, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Is that an attitude that you have? Is that something you look forward to with joy coming together? If it's not, then I caution you that your heart is not right with God. If you don't find joy in coming together and worshiping God, then why would you think God would want you in His eternal abode worshiping Him throughout all eternity? If you can't devote 2-3 hours a week to the Lord, if you can't devote one day to the Lord and giving devoted service to Him, if you find that everything else finds more importance than your service to God on the first day of the week, why would you believe that God would say, hey, you didn't want to spend time with me here upon this earth, but go on, come on in. Let's have all eternity. If you don't love God enough now to devote the time to worship Him, to sing songs of praise to Him, you will not hear from Him, enter into my rest. You'll hear, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The Lord's invitation is offered to you this morning. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then today is the opportunity that you have to come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, be buried in baptism, becoming a child of God, and learning just how wonderful the first day of the week is. Learning more about what Jesus has done for you. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel at some point in time in your life, and you began with a devoted service to the Lord, but you've allowed other things to take precedence. You've lost your excitement for the Lord. You've lost your excitement for coming together with Christians in worship. Then right now is your time to repent of that. And the Lord will restore you And as you remove those sins from your life, you'll find joy again in serving the Lord. We encourage you to do so now as we stand and as we sing.